let's start talking about forgiveness, unless y'all want to talk about talking. You noticed I've tried to get away from some of the standard vocabulary on some of this. I deal with teenagers, and I deal with individuals who really aren't training to be professionals, clinical or whatever. So I've really changed a lot of the vocabulary back to just what you and I know. Instead of just saying communication all the time, I use the word talking, because I think it communicates a little more practical level of what we're talking about here. Forgiveness. What is the big deal? Well, I think it's probably the biggest when it comes to relationships. God's operating system with me every day, the way He operates with me, is under forgiveness. It's under a big environment, and all of the love He gives me is under this concept of forgiveness. If it was not for forgiveness, He couldn't deal with me. He couldn't work with me. So what I have concluded, as for many years I've been working with people who have had behavior problems and have dealt with severe depression and dealt with anxiety and dealt with all of those other issues in the Christian church, in the church itself, we have almost abandoned a responsibility to helping those folks. I'm not on a crusade here, but I do think that we're living in a culture where there is a whole lot more of this. There are people now who are being diagnosed with all kinds of problems, including some of us sitting here, and we know that there is, if God's word is true, He has answers for us. He has solutions. You know, the term bipolar or schizophrenia, what is all of that? God has answers for that, and I'm going to tread lightly here into this area, but all you've got to do is go back in the Old Testament and read the history of men, and you see a guy that just went goofy on us called Saul. You remember King Saul? He actually became a very disturbed man. One minute he was loving on David and nice to him, and the next minute he was throwing javelins at him trying to kill him. Now, what would we call that kind of person today? We have people in the Old Testament who were kings who went out and started eating grass and eating grasshoppers for years until they finally got over it and came back. He had a breakdown of some kind. He had a psychotic break. This is not uncommon in mankind. It never has been. God has designed us for the Garden of Eden, in my opinion, and we're not in it any longer. He designed Adam and Eve to live in that perfect environment the way He wanted, and all that He has put in us is designed to live at peace, in harmony, with unity, obeying and following His precepts and principles in our life. And when we live in this old mean world, then all of us are under an inordinate amount of stress. And if it were not for the grace of God, I don't know how I could make it. If it were not for His truth in my life, I don't know how other people do it without it. I don't know how people live without knowing Jesus Christ. I don't know how you can exist, and especially in our culture in America. What a tremendously stressful environment it is. God has solutions, and one of the big solutions for me every day is to know that I'm forgiven. Forgiveness is that process where my burden is lifted and I am free of all the guilt and shame that comes my way. Then it gets down to how do I do that with others, because I am commanded to forgive others as Christ has forgiven me. So what does that mean to me? And as I have tried to develop this over the years in my own mind and learn how to do it the right way for myself, I have learned, even in helping young men who come into our ranch and working with families, I have discovered in pastoring that all of us have misinformation and we misunderstand what forgiveness really is, because Satan has done a number. He has redefined the term love and he has redefined the term forgiveness so that his definition is so distorted from what God's definition is. So So I want to take you through a journey I've been through, and let's talk about what really forgiveness is from a scriptural standpoint. We know that doctrinally, it means that I am guilty, and I am no longer going to be held guilty of what I am guilty of, right? I am guilty, and I am no longer guilty of what I am guilty of. I think that's a very plain way of describing forgiveness. It doesn't mean that I'm not guilty. It means that guilt has been removed so that now I am free from the judgment of that sin or guilt. So let's take that basic principle and let's talk about how it applies in our relationships with one another. First of all, there's no need to give forgiveness or apply forgiveness in my life if there's no guilt. Right? Why would I need to be forgiven if I hadn't done anything to be forgiven for? Is that elementary thinking? Sure it is. But I can tell you, if we don't start with that premise, we're going to miss the point here. The point is, everybody that has failure in their life needs forgiving. And that means you and me. All of us need to live in relationships that are forgiving. Because all of us are guilty of faults and failures. And my faults and weaknesses are different than my wife's. She has areas of weakness that are so different than mine. And if she gets focused on me and what I'm good at and what I don't fail in, she is going to live deeper in guilt. Right? Do you follow that? Did I go too fast? Y'all probably way ahead of me. If I focus on what she's great at and what I think I admire so much about her, and I realize I don't have those abilities, I can wallow around in my failure and weakness a lot. Well, we're living in a culture that teaches us to do that. Okay? If you don't measure up to this standard, then there's something wrong with you. And a lot of us have grown up in a family that way. Don't answer this, a rhetorical question, but how many of us have grown up in families where our parents put standards way above what our capacity as an 8-year-old was to exceed? And in that process, we weren't trained, taught, or knew we had the capacity, and someone was asking us to do something out of our gifting, and we didn't know what that was, or the skills and abilities and personality God gave us. We just couldn't do what someone was asking us. That is really a very guilt-ridden, shaming life to live. Forgiveness takes care of that. Forgiveness helps me, when I understand it and I know how it works, it helps me to accept my own failures and see myself as I really am. It helps me to acknowledge my weaknesses, but also forgiveness helps me to be free so that I can be who God wants me to be. Now, in relationships, that's important because a wife needs to be who God designed her to be. She's a helpmate. And by the way, the husband is a helpmate. Have we figured that out yet? I'm there to help my wife, and she's there to help me. We get hung up on these words sometimes. And it's not a 50-50 proposition. It's a 100%, 100% proposition. I'm 100% responsible to be the man, and she's 100% responsible to be the wife. And there's nothing in there that says we've got to compromise. There's no compromising in marriage. Well, I'm going to do 60% of it, and you're going to do 40%. I despise the change of concepts. What I'm talking about here is we've got to get to a place where we all take full responsibility, and to do that, to have the freedom to do that, we've got to feel and know we're forgiven. That's called freedom. That's called real freedom. Someone said that in Baghdad, the day after we freed the country and they recognized that the regime had gone away, that some of the young men got in cars and went 80 miles an hour down the wrong side of the road in Baghdad and called that freedom. Can you see where they would think that? But is it freedom? That wasn't freedom. you see how we get real distorted in the way we define things? The same here with forgiveness. So let's talk about it. Forgiveness always starts with a need. Somebody has to be guilty before they can be forgiven. Now, there comes a time, guys, in your life you're going to have to claim guilt when you're not. Has your wife ever come and said you're guilty of something and you knew you weren't, but if you didn't ask for her forgiveness, it wasn't going to go away? I told somebody the other day, my joking is always so dry, nobody knows I'm joking, but there's a truth to that, isn't there? There is a truth to that, that sometimes we have to say, I just really didn't understand, and please explain and forgive me for hurting you. When really the person may be the wife or the husband, or it may be in relation another relationship where another person is hurt. We're going to discuss that. But there always has to be a need for forgiveness to happen. On the other hand, when there is a need, forgiveness needs to be applied every time. Right? Every time. It's an absolute fact. If there's a need, forgiveness has to be applied. Well, the second thing about it is that we're going to talk about a lot of things, and none of these are in priority. We're just going to deal with some of the misunderstandings and help us to understand what forgiveness maybe is not more than what it is. Forgiveness does not erase recall. How many of you have quoted the passage that says forgive and forget? It doesn't exist. In fact, the passage over in Isaiah says, God forgave me and forgot my sins for His own sake. It's a real key passage to understanding forgiveness. But when we go to the Hebrew, it doesn't mean He forgot. God is a... has God ever forgotten anything? I don't think so. What does that term mean, though, in understanding of us as humans? Why did somebody translate it that way? It really means, what it means is, I no longer choose to go back to that memory, is what it means. I refuse to go back and bring that up again. And in 1 Corinthians, that principle is mentioned again. In the passage where it says, don't keep when you love, love doesn't keep records. What's that saying? Have you ever had your mate do something wrong and hurt you over and over for 3 years, and then finally you were fed up and you dumped the whole 3 years of incidences on them? You kept a record? And you told them you forgave them of all of that, maybe. And then all of a sudden, they just pushed you over the edge and you just dumped the whole thing back on them. And that is where you go back and recall what has happened. Now, forgiveness does not erase recall. It does not do away with memory. We have to go through a process of choosing not to let that memory control us. Let me tell you another principle that comes from that. Another thing about memory. I can truly and honestly forgive someone of an incident today and go through that process of forgiving. I have erased, and in my mind I have chose to forgive them, and they are no longer guilty of what they did in my mind. And 2 weeks from now I can be watching a television show and the memory of what they did comes back in an incident I saw on television, and immediately I'm just as angry and unforgiving as I was the first time. Are y'all, you think I'm blowing smoke, or do y'all agree with me? Okay. You understand. That doesn't mean I didn't forgive them the first time. What that means is what the apostles asked Christ on this walk they had one day. You remember what they asked Him? How many times have I got to do this? And you remember what He said? 7 times 70. What does that mean? 490 times, right? That's not what it meant. You know, they knew exactly what that meant. They knew that 7 was the word in the Hebrew that meant completion. That's what 7 means. And so you forgive someone till it's complete. And they knew 70 meant the end or finished. Doesn't it? The 70 weeks, you know, those are absolute things we know in the Old Testament. That's what 7 and 70 means. So it means you forgive completely till the end. Now, when the apostles heard that, they knew what. They didn't ask him to explain that. They wrote it down a few years later so that we could read it, because they wanted us to know it. And the culture explained that back then, that concept. Today, we would just say, you completely forgive them till you're dead. That's what we would say. You just keep forgiving them till your life is over, because that's a responsibility. And how many times have we got to forgive someone? We just got to keep doing it. Now, you got me? Okay. All right. I'm going to let Bob show you all the scriptures. I bet you he has before. Let's look at another thing. Forgiving does not mean that I'm accepting what they did wrong as right. How many people say, I am never going to give that person because of what they did? I can never forgive them. I hear it every day if I'm watching television. I hear it in those boys that come to the ranch. I'll never forget that. I can't forgive that person for what they did. It's never possible for me to forgive them. Well, what they're thinking in their mind is, if I forgive them, then what I'm saying is what they did wrong is okay. Is that a misunderstanding of what forgiveness is? That's a distortion of what forgiveness is. That's not what forgiveness is. You and I are still guilty of our sins, as far as the fact that we did volitionally commit them or not commit them. We inherited them, but we are still guilty. The fact is, God has said, no matter whether we're guilty or not, what Christ did on the cross removes them as guilt. You see? Now, that's the way mine and your relationship is supposed to be if we become Christ-like. So forgiving someone does not mean that I'm going to accept what they did wrong as being okay. You with me so far? Now, let's go to the next one. Forgiveness does not remove, it does remove the charge that is to my account. If someone has done me wrong, if I have hurt my wife, then I owe her. I have violated a relationship principle in my relationship with her, and I have a debt to pay, because I violated something that shouldn't have happened. When I promised to marry her and hold her up and honor her, and then I later violated that promise, now I owe her. You see that? Okay. So now she's got to remove that by forgiving me. I can't do it. She has to do it. Right? The guilty party can't go before the judge and say, Judge, I'm removing my debt. The judge has to do it. You with me? That's why David was so frustrated in the fourth Psalm. He had gone to the Lord and been forgiven. And he had gone to those that he had hurt and said, please forgive me, and they weren't forgiving him. And what did he know? He was the king and he was trying to lead them. Can you lead people that are holding a debt against you? They wouldn't follow him. And he knew this had to go away before he could step back into a leadership role. And he was in agony over this. I don't think he was mad at them. I think he was just angry because this couldn't be okay, so to speak. So, does that happen in our relationships? Is there times when you go say, please forgive me, and it doesn't happen? Or when somebody says, yes, I will forgive you, but you know they didn't. They just said it to get you out of their face, so to speak. Those things happen. Has this helping any? Is this making any? These are some of the big frustrations that people have in applying forgiveness on a practical level. And this is one of the big things that cause marriage problems. I can tell you, this is the thing I throw right in the middle of a couple comes to me and says, we're having problems and we don't like each other right now. And I say, well, let's start with forgiveness. Because from here, we can build a foundation. But if you're still mad at each other, we're not going to go anywhere. You see what I mean? Okay. It removes. Then the next thing, it doesn't establish personal integrity. If I have violated a relationship with Bob and he forgives me of what I did, does that mean that I'm never going to do that again? Not at all. When God forgave me of my sins and I accepted that through faith, does that mean that I will never sin again? You see how we can go back to that relationship and understand this? Because I've forgiven somebody does not stop them from doing that wrong or that sin or that bad thing. And sometimes we want to assign that, you know, I'm forgiving you, and don't you ever do it again, so to speak. And if you do, I will never forgive you, right? Therefore, we are making grace not a part of forgiveness when we do that. We are redefining grace. We're redefining forgiveness is basically what we're doing. We're saying, I got my definition of forgiveness and it's not God's. God says when I forgive, it doesn't mean that person's going to change or I should expect him to change. Who is that up to? Okay, in a relationship. When I forgive my wife, who's got to change? Oh, if she's messed up. You sound like my wife. Oh, I'm just kidding. You see what I'm saying? Then she has to. and the same thing for me. If she forgives me of something and then I do it again, you see what a frustrating cycle that can get into? You know, there's a word for that. When I'm forgiven and of something and I do it again, that's called blaspheming. I'm taking advantage of integrity and character on her part in a relationship. And does that hurt more? Because not only now have I violated our relationship by doing something wrong, I am now taking advantage of her character and integrity and love. And then it gets worse, doesn't it? That's where it gets deeper and hurts more. And that's where, if that happens for a long period of time, then you've got to dig out from under a lot of scar tissue on the soul. And you can't just go in and say, oh, honey, I forgive you. Of those 20 years of you doing this over and over again, it's not that easy. God didn't make us that way. So then we have to start pulling layers back. And when we pull one layer back and we feel the freedom of that, we see another ugly layer underneath. We have to learn, okay, we're going to dig through this thing till we get through it and it's over. Now, it's not as tenuous as it sounds. It's not as hard. But it's a process. It takes time. It hurts a lot. Because every time you go back to something that hadn't been forgiven and you keep going through that, the pain of that event comes back just as if it happened right now, many times. And that's a very tough thing to go back through. How many of us want to go back through something? We don't. So we run from forgiveness many times because we know we're going to have to go back to the hurt and pain of it. So then I stop and think, what does Christ do? He's sitting up there interceding for me. And every time I sin again, what does it do to his heart? There's a lot of scriptures that tell us how he pains, how he hurts, how much is written to us about how much God agonized over the children of Israel and their continued disobedience. Then put this in reality to us that have children. How many times does it hurt us over and over to see our children do something we know they know better? And it pains us because we know they're violating something they have said they believe, and they keep doing it, and it's hurting them, and it just brings a pain in our heart. Well, see, this is how forgiveness and the humanness of all of us work. And unless we really get down to the practical application of this, we're going to really struggle with this ever working for us. I've seen Christians that say forgiveness doesn't work because they really didn't understand how it worked in application. I really don't think until we get to know how Christ forgives us on a daily basis, we can apply this in our relationships. And I think this is why over and over he tells us to love others as he loves us. I think what he's saying, guys, there's a key here. You keep learning me, you keep getting close to me, and I'm going to teach you how to get close to others, how to have right relationships. Love is an expression of virtue love. What is that? What do I mean by that? We've already discussed that. And I'm going to go through this love thing here in a few minutes too. In fact, we're going to run out of time, so we'll save this for Sunday morning, which is good. But what are we talking about here when we talk about virtue love? When you develop virtue within yourself, men, and you say, I'm going to forgive my wife no matter how she treats me, no matter what she says to me, no matter how many times, I am going to be honorable to the institution of the relationship and marriage because I have a relationship with God and He's told me to, and I love Him. Then you have become virtuous in the way you think. You see? It's not personal. It's not selfishness. It's virtuous. It's related to principle you know, not the way you feel today, or how angry you are. So in that whole concept, virtue love is an application of the love principles with an attitude of character and integrity. Now God, we know, is a righteous God that is, and all of His character and integrity shines in all of who He is. And His forgiveness, we know, is sure and fast and forever, and over again because of His character and integrity. He said He would. He will. Right? So a man's got to come into a relationship with his wife and have that same virtue in order to get through this. To do that, we become men to our wives. We become the kind of men that God wants us to be. We're virtuous. There's no question whether we're going to forgive them. It's automatic. They know we will. Now, if they take advantage of that, God's going to get them. God has promised us He'll take care of that. And He's going to bless us in the process. Now, wives, the same identical principle applies to you. It's not any different. But as men need to know, we got to get it right first. Because we're held up as the person responsible for this institution of marriage. The wife is not held as the responsible party for the overall institution. The husband is. What is the wife held responsible for? She's rebelled for 100% of her part of it, right? Absolutely. She doesn't get out of this thing. But he's held responsible for the whole thing. And God is going to hold a lot of men in this country responsible, and I think we're paying the price. I think the agony we see in families, the dysfunctional things going on, the lack of peace, the frustration for happiness, the frantic searches we're seeing, is a result of us men not taking responsibility. I don't think we've got a women problem in this country. I think we've got a men problem. And I'll shout to the rooftops about that. Because it starts at the top. It starts where God said it did. You've got to take responsibility for this. It is a product of hope or trust. Forgiveness is a product of confidence. If you don't have any confidence this thing called forgiveness works, you're not going to do it. I promise you. I've never seen anybody yet do it until they had confidence it would work. If you try it without confidence that it'll work, it won't work. Because you won't really commit to it. If you just give lip service to it, it won't work. when forgiveness comes out of our mouths, it has to be real virtuous forgiveness, and we have to mean it, and we have to walk off from the circumstance, so to speak. We'll never go back there. We'll never bring that up again. We will never throw it back in our wife or our husband's face. I believe it works. I'll always use it. And I'll tell you what, it'll be tested. Satan will make sure when you start forgiving the right way, or if you already have, you know good and well that Satan's going to throw tests in your life to make you, to challenge you to believe that. You have to believe forgiveness works, and you just have to do it for 50 years if you have to, even if you never see good results from it, to know that it works. It works. I promise you it works. Because God promised me it works. It is absolutely something we have to have a hope and confidence in for us to apply it. And we're living in a nation where very few of us have the confidence anymore. It's called trust, isn't it? It's called belief. Do we really believe it works? Then let's make it work, and let's just do it whether we see good results or not. Forgiveness cannot have false expectations, and it has to allow the time it takes for change. Okay, when a kid comes to our ranch and he walks in the first day and he is scared to death, and he walks up to me because I just told him to settle down, and he screams all kinds of profanities and he starts to hit me and he goes into a rage, I am supposed to forgive him, right? And when he does that over and over and over, for 3 months, 6 months, we say teenagers can hold their breath for a year. I believe it, emotionally. They can hang on to hope that they can hang on to their old ways for a long time. Because their old ways are safe and secure. And the same with us adults right here. Those old habits are a place where we know. We know how to live in the world we live in, don't we? Even if it's bad and wrong, we know what to do and what to expect. When we start changing and getting better, we don't know that world. We become very vulnerable. We all have to be very wise when we start forgiving, because we can't have false expectations. Okay, I've forgiven my wife for 2 weeks now, and starting next week, things are going to start being okay. That's a false expectation. I have forgiven my husband for 10 years. And next year, it's over. Because I'm expecting some change from forgiveness. You see what I mean? That we can attach all kinds of expectations to forgiveness. We shouldn't. Forgiveness comes from the character of the person giving it, and has nothing to do with the character of the person receiving it. The person receiving it has to accept it by faith, and then they have to choose to change. That's their job. Forgiveness doesn't do that. Forgiveness just creates an atmosphere on your part of not holding them guilty of what they're guilty of. Is that okay? You with me? Okay. My wife says I get too convoluted sometimes. Okay. Forgiveness has a relationship with acknowledgement and being honest or truthful. What do we mean by that? Let's say my wife comes to me and she says, "Honey, you did so-and-so." And I say, "No, I didn't." Then what do you think is going to happen there? It's going to be very hard forgiveness to be applied and accepted, is it? Because the truth is not being dealt with. How many times do we forgive each other in relationship and really the truth hadn't been dealt with? We're dealing with each other on a very frivolous basis. You said a real harsh word to me yesterday, and I don't want you to say that anymore. And, okay, well, please forgive me. Okay, I forgive you. So the next day I don't talk to her. You see my point? I didn't say that word anymore. Was that the real problem? Was the real truth that I said a word to her? Or was it something deeper? Was there something I was angry about that caused me to say this word? Because very seldom on the first outing of our expression of frustration with another person, do we tell them the truth? Did you know that? Now, I know some people that do. You know a few people that just flat tell you the truth the first time you meet them? I know a few. I kind of like them. I'm getting to where I kind of like that kind of thing. Just come on and you know, shovel it from the bottom of the pile and give it to me. But and let's just deal with it. But you've got to be pretty experienced to be ready for that kind of stuff. You know, it's very wise on our part, for my wife. It's very wise on my wife to come up to me and say, honey, we need to talk tomorrow about what happened yesterday. I say, okay. And then I'm thinking, you know, until tomorrow, I'm thinking, what did I do? What did I say? What happened? And that's some wisdom. Okay, ladies play poker here. You know what I'm talking about. You understand that you've got to think. This is called patience. This is called love when we do things like that. And then she says, honey, yesterday you said so-and-so, and I really didn't understand that. You know, what I've learned is, okay, honey, tell me what you were thinking. You didn't understand it, but you really are thinking you did understand it. What did you think I meant? You see what I'm saying? We've got to get past the frivolous stuff and get down to the real stuff before the forgiveness really applies to what the real problem is. The real problem may be under 10 layers of conversations. And the real problem may be something neither one of us know. I may be sensing that I'm fixing to get fired from my job. And so I come in and have a bad attitude, but I don't know I'm going to get fired, and nobody said I was, and I wasn't even consciously thinking. I just see other guys getting fired, and I start getting nervous at work. Did we ever do that? And so I bring that tension home, and my wife starts getting the back end of that, and she starts saying, why did you do this, and why did you do that? And you see how sometimes we're angry and we don't know what we're angry about? We live in Satan's world, and it's full of deception, is it not? Is that not a deceptive thing going on there? Are you aware you live in a life of deception? You live in a world full of it. It comes to roost in our families and in our relationships. Deception and deceit is part of this world, and we all get caught in it every day. And for me to start listening to my wife and then start examining myself, and then for her to help me do that, and for us to go back and say, why did you do that? You never do that. Why did you say that? Or, you know, to go back and start to see, many times we find there's issues going on and hurts and pains and other people that are, and it's sure easier for me to take my revenge out on my wife than it is to go take it out on somebody at work. Because I can deal with her. If I do it at work, then there's the repercussions I don't want to deal with. You see what I mean? So sometimes we, I hate to use this word because the psychiatrists love it, but it's a biblical principle. I transfer something that happened here to over here because now I can vent and feel better about it, but it had nothing to do with this situation. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. So does God want us to address these things correctly? As long as we keep our heads stuck in the sand about our life and about the reality of who we are inside and what's going on, we will never be able to apply these principles right in our relationship. God wants us to have rich relationships. And the only way you have that is to have this thing called forgiveness working in your life. Any questions about that? Okay. Which one now? Oh, okay. I'm with you. I'm sorry. If I'm angry at one of the men at the ranch because he has done something to violate our relationship. Let's say he told something that I had told to him in confidence. And now that I find that out, I am angry because he's violated a confidence. And in doing so, I no longer respect him. He has violated me, and there is a reason why I need to forgive him. To forgive him doesn't mean that I'm going to respect him after that. What if I find out he continually does that all the time? He has got to reestablish his own respect by then making good choices and not doing what he did in the past. I think that is one issue in, let's say, adultery in relationships. That's a big deal. Let's say a couple's been living, has been married for 10 years, and all of a sudden one of them has an adulterous relationship, and the other one finds out about it, and then the one realizes it's short term. I hated what I did. I came back and I said that, and I want you to forgive me. Okay, is respect reestablished when I forgive that mate? That's the question here. The answer is no. Is there going to have to be a period of time and testings and circumstances to reestablish respect? Sure there is. See, we put false expectations to what forgiveness does. Forgiveness doesn't mean everything's going to be okay because I forgave you. And it doesn't mean everything's going to get back to normal real quick. And that's the immediate desire we have. If I'm going to go to the effort of forgiving you, then I want everything to be okay. If I'm going to go through the pain of saying this is okay, and I'm the injured party, and you're the guilty party, then tomorrow it's going to be okay. But when I wake up and look at your face in the morning, I'm not going to trust you, and I'm going to say, oh, forgiveness didn't work. And that was my point. Forgiveness doesn't do that. Because Christ forgives me of a sin doesn't mean that I'm not going to violate with my volition that relationship and sin again. I might. Forgiveness is a standalone principle. Well, who is forgiveness for again? Christ demonstrated that to us in that Isaiah passage when he said, I forgive you and forget your sins for my own sake. When you forgive someone, you do it for you, not them. Does that help? Then I misstated what I said. When God forgives me, it is for my benefit. Okay. Did I say it wasn't?
He said that he didn't remember.
He does remember. He doesn't choose to bring it up and apply it toward me again. I'm not guilty of that anymore. If he said he forgave me, he forgives me. Forever, he'll forgive me of that. But he does that for himself because his character and integrity demands that he do that. And can I benefit from his forgiveness? Sure, absolutely. But me taking advantage of his forgiveness means that I have to have faith in that. And for me to take further advantage of that means that I have to repent. I have to change the way I think and the way I do. So his forgiveness doesn't change me. Now be careful. That's a wrong statement if you're going to think through it. But do you understand the principle I'm saying here, Bob?
Out of our
that goes along with the same thing. But the point is, I think, in this application where we're trying to talk about personal relationships here, just because I forgave my mate of adultery doesn't mean that she's going to stop or he's going to stop committing adultery. You see? Or nor does it mean that if they stop, I'm going to immediately trust them again, even if they're completely trustworthy. That's another issue. And we want to attach that to forgiveness. That's a whole other thing we can talk about. That's not forgiveness. That's reconciliation. Reconciliation is making me compatible again with my mate, and I'm not. But forgiveness is that initial starting point to where I go back and we talk about this problem. We acknowledge the truth. That's the beginning process. That's why God wants me to confess to Him. But see, that's the starting process of me changing, is it not? I got a problem. If I don't say I have a problem, there's nothing to change. But when I admit I have a problem to Him, then He knows if I keep saying I have a problem, He knows my conscience is going to start working. And so that's the same in a relationship. Okay, there's an adultery situation. Should I forgive my mate? Sure. It's a sin. We can. God wants marriages to stay together. He's given us some outs, but He wants us to stay together. Always does. And so, all right, we're going to work this out. I have forgiven my mate, but I'm going to wake up in the morning and say, I don't like you right now. I have not got a confidence in this relationship, and the other person is just dying because they are so sorry they did that. They are hurting. They know they've messed up. But they know they can't get back in your good graces as far as respect goes, even though you've forgiven them. Are you following me? We don't want to attach that to forgiveness. That is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is for me to develop, to get the burden off of me. You have violated me, and therefore I give you forgiveness so that I don't have to feel unforgiving. And I am free now. The burden is yours. I'm free. I have removed the debt you owe me. Okay? So no...
If we don't forgive, we're going to become bitter, angry, and...
That's the rest of the story. And that's the process. Because if I don't forgive you, I'm going to become a worse case person in the relationship than you. Because I'm going to become resentful, angry, bitter, hurtful. All of those things are going to come from me if I don't forgive, because I need the freedom to get that load off so that that anger and frustration doesn't control me. Because that's a sin to itself.
Well, I certainly respect you. The main issue is really tough to overcome. I say that, it takes time and whatever. I think there's so much divorce that people don't give the time. Where does it tell you, like, there's time.
My grandmother and grandfather, and I don't remember them much when they were married. My grandfather died when I was 9 or 10, but they raised, this was on my mother's side, they raised 9 children and 3 grandchildren in Oklahoma. And when they were, I think they were at 40 years in their marriage, and he had an affair. And they separated. They got a divorce. He did not get remarried, nor her. And 10 years later, they reconciled. And they got back together. My mother tells me it almost took them 10 years more. And after my grandfather got cancer, and during the 2 years he had cancer, that they really reconciled. They got back together, but it took that long after they got back together for my grandmother to get confidence back in that relationship. Is that okay? And is there a time limit on that? No. And how long does it take? That's up to the individuals. We could talk a lot about how you do that, because that's a whole other story, and I've got a lot on that. But that process of reconciliation is something that you've got to first know how forgiveness works before you can do that. But then once that starts, that's the hard work. That's tough stuff. living together and being with somebody that you don't respect and trying to work that out, the person that's the guilty party needs to really do some things aggressively to make the other person understand that they can be trusted. Like, I'll never go anywhere without calling you. I'll never find myself in this situation. You know, I'll never do this. And that other person starts to see that that person is going overboard to develop trust again. But that's the same with any forgiveness, not just adultery, but any forgiveness. You have to go overboard to reestablish respect. I know pastors who have violated immorally. They have taken advantage of a lady in their congregation. And then they want forgiveness and immediately reinstated, because they expect respect to be given right back because they were forgiven. And I think they don't have a clue what forgiveness is. Because forgiveness is not reinstating respect. It's not placing honor back on that person. That honor is something that when you're put in a leadership role, you know, such as a husband or a pastor or whatever, that has to be earned in order to have. And we're living in a world that's really convoluting these concepts. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, that means you live it. Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions? You ready to go see the end of the ball game? I hope Texas is doing as well as they were a while ago. Let's pray, guys. Thank you, Father. We love you. We appreciate your love for us and you teaching us these principles, and help us to apply them to our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.